beautiful day. Sunshine, a high of 65 degrees today. Tonight, a low down to 46. Tomorrow, some sunshine with a high of 76 degrees. On Wednesday night, you got a low down to 60. And then on Thursday, an isolated shower possible. Maybe a thunderstorm in that mix. Mostly cloudy with a high of 82. We got 55 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is just about 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
Now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, Election Day, by the way. So don't forget that. There's still plenty of time to vote if you have not done so. Polls will be open until 8 o'clock tonight here in Butler County and across Pennsylvania. Later on the program today, we're going to be talking about fitness, particularly fitness for men. Mike Matthews will be joining us to talk about that subject. He's not here in Butler. We'll be chatting with him on the telephone. Our first guests are with us here in the studio today to talk about an interesting program coming up that has to do with marijuana. So let's say hello to our guests. First of all, Donna Genereski is the director of the Drug and Alcohol Program within the Butler County Human Services Department. Donna, I don't think you've been here before, have you?
I do not believe so.
No. Well, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good to be here.
My engineer would like me to have you pull your chair in just a little bit closer to that microphone there. That's good. That'll keep everybody happy, including my engineer. Also with us today is Beth Nevue, who is a supervisor in the Butler County Drug and Alcohol Program. Beth, you've been here before. Nice to see you again.
That's nice seeing you, Dave, too. Thank you for inviting us to be on the program today.
I'm going to get you a little bit closer to that microphone, okay, too. That's good. Super. I just want to make sure everyone can hear you.
Okay.
We're here to talk today about a program that's coming up in early June that has to do with marijuana. Now, Beth, we're talking about marijuana for recreational use, not medicinal, right?
That's correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
So what's the, first of all, when is the program and what's it all about?
Well, the program will be Tuesday, June 4th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Butler Community College in the Suckup Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The doors will actually open at 6, so we encourage and welcome people to come early. We will have a little bit of information, some rolling facts up on a PowerPoint so they can get some facts ahead of time as well. And the program will run from 6:30 till 8.
Mm-hmm. And there is a keynote speaker, Donna. Who's that going to be?
That will be Dale Quigley, and he is the deputy coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative for the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Initiative Program.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is. And that's actually funded by the White House's Office of National Drug Policy Control Policy.
There are a number of states here in the United States that have now legalized marijuana for recreational use. And your program will look specifically at the impact that's had in one of those states?
Yes. Yes, Colorado. Mm-hmm. We were kind of dubbing it also lessons learned. So Mr. Quigley will be sharing some of the things that have the legalization of recreational marijuana has impacted in their state.
It's hard for me to keep track of the states that have legal. I think Colorado may have been the first one. And then Washington State, Oregon, am I right on that? Is Oregon legalized it?
Massachusetts? I know. You should know. I think there's like five or six right
but
now.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing, too. But it's under discussion in a bunch of other state houses, state legislatures. I don't think it's imminent here in Pennsylvania. Do you? I mean, it doesn't seem likely. I don't know.
I think it might be.
Really?
I think, especially as we know, it's being talked about at our legislative the level there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it could very well possibly be passed as a law here. So that's and it's not, our position is really not a position at this point. We know this is a very controversial subject, but what we want to do is to be able to just share some facts, maybe slow down the process with our legislators, constituents, our voters here in Butler County and across the state, so that we can be prepared if indeed this is something that our government and our people vote in as something legal. But we want to be prepared. We want to make sure that we have good policy and that public safety and health are taken into consideration before we pass such a law.
Has there been enough time, Donna, to really analyze the impact that the legalization of recreational marijuana has had in other states, Colorado or some of those other states? And do we have any research that's been done yet, or is that still ongoing, or how's that stand?
I think it's ongoing, but I believe with especially Colorado, there is data, and they've shared that data, which Mr. Quigley will focus on, lessons learned, things that they've learned throughout this process, some of which were after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't think about things until after the fact, and but I think that they continue to collect the data and look at the positives, the negatives, the impacts that it's having on that state.
So you'd like for Pennsylvania to make sure that they take a look at all this stuff and research
right.
it instead of doing it after the fact,
right.
after it's been legalized. Hmm. There will be, as I understand it, at this program, and again, folks, it's Tuesday, June 4th, which might at first blush seem like it's a ways off, but it isn't. We're coming up on Memorial Day weekend, after all. Tuesday, June 4th in the evening, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Butler County Community College. Beth, there's also going to be a panel discussion in addition to the keynote speaker, Dale Quigley. Who's going to be on the panel?
We are planning to have our district attorney, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, the Value Behavioral Health Dr. Mark Fuller, and Jason Beckwith, who is one of the leaders in the county for recovery, for those mm-hmm. in recovery.
And Mr. Quigley, I assume the keynote speaker, will also be participating
yes.
in the panel. So has the format worked out? I mean, will people be asking questions from the audience, or will there just be discussion among these panel members, or how's that going to shake down?
Well, I think as a planning committee, we have come up with a few questions that we feel that most of those in the audience may have those same questions, but we certainly will have the opportunity to. We're not going to do questions out, but we're going to have cards mm. where people can write their questions down and then submit them, and then we will present them to the panel.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that if one of the members of the panel might have comments, another might have comments after that,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in rebuttal, but in addition to. So.
Right.
And you're looking for this to last for about an hour and a half, huh?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is it open to the general public? Anybody can go?
It is.
Do you need reservations or anything like that?
No reservations are needed. We just encourage anyone who feels that they want to be educated
mm-hmm.
or, feels that it is important for themselves, for their family members, to come out and gain the information, gain the knowledge.
And there's no charge or anything, right? Is there an admission?
No charge. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a program to take a factual look at the impact that legalization of recreational marijuana has had in Colorado. We'll take a quick break. I've got some more questions for our guests. Nice to have them with us here in the studio today on It's Your Turn. One of our sponsors on the program today is Schnoor's Greenhouse. Schnoor's Family owned and operated since 1889. That's not 1989, that's 1889. Yes. Yes, they're celebrating 130 years in business. Isn't that amazing? Schnorr's Greenhouse off Herman Road. Very friendly service, very knowledgeable staff, obviously. I wouldn't have been in business that long were that not the case. They've got beautiful annuals, vegetable plants. This is the time of the year, late May, around Memorial Day, when a lot of folks put out their vegetable plants. They have beautiful hanging baskets, too. Wide variety from which to choose, just about any sort of flower you can imagine. They offer gift cards as well. Schnorr's Greenhouse, off Herman Road. Look for Schnorr Road by the RC Men's Club. It's Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Hours, they're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday 8 to 5, Sunday 11 to 5. Schnorr's Greenhouse. Since 1889, it's been the place to grow.
Well, Mr. 60's here. I gotta tell you about a fantastic event happening at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center Saturday, May 25th. It's the Mr. 60's Rock and Roll Oldies All Request Dance Party. Let me take you back in time to those sock hops in the gym. I'm gonna be playing your favorite songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s by request. All you have to do is dance the night away. Dust off your poodle skirts and leather jackets and join me and Chef George on Saturday, May 25th for an evening of fun and great food. Doors open at 6 p.m., buffet dinner at 7, and dancing starts at 8 o'clock. As always, BYOB will have a 50-50 drawing and giveaways. Tickets are only $20 each. Be there or be square, as they used to say. That's Saturday, May 25th at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center. For tickets and more info, call 724-287-0021.
Welcome back. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. A little chilly outside today. When the sun is out, and it has not been out all the time, but when the sun is out, it takes a little bit of the edge off, but we're still only in the mid-50s here today. 2 days ago on Sunday afternoon, it was 85, so we're about 30 degrees below that right now. Our guests here in the studio with us on this segment of It's Your Turn, Donna Genereski is the supervisor, the director of the Drug and Alcohol Program for Butler County. Beth Nevue is a supervisor of that program. We're talking about an event coming up on June 4th, the evening of June 4th. Taking a factual look at the impact that legalization of recreational marijuana has had in Colorado. The Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, Beth, John Fetterman, has been on a tour actually for some months now. Mm-hmm. He says he's going to visit every county. There are 67 of them, every county in Pennsylvania, for a listening session on the issue of potential legalization of marijuana for recreational use. Obviously, you're familiar with that in your capacity. Yes. In fact, he's already been here in Butler County.
Yes, he has. He was at Slippery Rock University.
Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago.
April. I don't remember the exact date, but
yeah. And he was just in Allegheny County a week or so ago, so he's continuing to make the rounds. Mm-hmm. Were you able to attend that session in Slippery Rock?
Yes, actually, both Donna and I attended, along with even one of our panelists, Jason Beckwith. We attended the session. It was held in the education building.
It was on the Slippery Rock University mm-hmm. campus. Right. Now, I was not there, but I would suspect, given that that's a college campus, mm-hmm. that there were probably at least some people in the audience who were in favor of legalization of marijuana for recreational use.
Yes, yes, I think of all ages, not just those who look to be college age students, but I think others who attended were also, you know, some were in favor. I think there were those that voiced that they were not at this time, you mm-hmm. know, in favor of it.
So what about the potential negatives? I don't have any expertise in this area. You folks do, but Donna, one of the things that jumps to my mind is people being under the influence and driving, you know, out on the roadways. Do we have any research into that? The effect that, you know, being high on marijuana has when you're driving a car?
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons why it's very important to share the facts and information and the lessons learned from states like Colorado before we make a move here in Pennsylvania, because they have shared data and information related to the DUIs and the increases that they've seen. And that's definitely a concern. And one of our panelists is Richard Goldinger, our mm-hmm. district attorney, and he will touch upon the legal piece and the importance of making sure that we think and have things in place before we move and legalize recreational use, because it will impact to some degree
well,
the
definitely.
Laws, what's in place right now.
There are some states, and this goes back, I don't know, a decade or more before the legalization began to spread. There were states who, although it was still a criminal offense, if you were caught with marijuana, they came up with this term of small amount. Do you remember that, mm-hmm. Beth, where you would get a minimal penalty, slap on the wrist, I guess, for small amount of marijuana? I know a few states that did that. I don't know what it is here in Pennsylvania right now, but that would be something that District Attorney Rich Goldinger could discuss.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that I've heard that for years myself through other law enforcement and detectives, you know, within Butler County, saying that, you know, that might be a place to start versus mm-hmm. just legalizing it completely, you know, to try to address maybe a decriminalizing process versus legalizing.
And I see that one of your panelists is Dr. Mark Fuller from Value Behavioral Health. I'm not sure whether he's a medical doctor or that's a PhD, but one of the things that I think is a negative about possible legalization of marijuana for recreational use is that you would smoke it. And, I mean, surely we've learned about the dangers of smoking, mm-hmm. Inhaling smoke into your lungs, whether it's tobacco or marijuana. I would see that as a medical concern. Again, I'm not an expert here.
I think you're spot on there. That is certainly one of the risks, as is any type of, again, whether it's tobacco or marijuana, how that can affect the brain mm-hmm. As well. So it can affect the lungs. Well, we know that tobacco can affect all parts of the body.
Yes.
All parts of the body.
Definitely, and lead to a variety of different diseases, not mm-hmm. just cancer, but other problems as well. Of course, Pennsylvania legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes a few years ago. Although, Donna, and this speaks to what you were speaking about of, you know, taking it slow and easy, it was a very, very measured rollout, as I recall. I mean, the state legislature approved it, but then it was 2 or 3 years before there were any dispensaries. In fact, they just opened within the past year. So a measured response there. That's what you're looking for if it happens with the recreational use as well?
Yes. Yes, I would hope that enough time and effort would be placed into this, as was with the rollout of medicinal marijuana.
We created a board. I mean, that was legalized, but then there was a board that was created, and that had to be appointed, and they had to start meeting, and then they had to decide where marijuana for medicinal purposes was going to be allowed to be grown and where it was going to be allowed to be sold and so on and so forth. So it was it seemed to me to be a pretty measured rollout, and they didn't do it, you know, in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Exactly. You're correct.
Mm-hmm. Do you think legalization of marijuana for recreational use is imminent here in Pennsylvania? I know of a couple of lawmakers who always make headlines when they come out with calling for it, but I don't know. Even the passage of medicinal marijuana It took a long time for a majority of state lawmakers to come on board. I really don't know whether we're close to a majority of lawmakers on recreational. Do you? Do you know something I don't know, Beth?
I don't. I think this has been an effort that has been around for a very, very long time, even prior to the very first state legalizing. And I think what continues to slow down the process is the fact that federally it's still an illegal drug. And I think even though states are legalizing it, there's those different laws that create some problems, I guess, for states, or that they just need to work through.
I guess it's against the law in the United States, but not necessarily in some states.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's imminent, but and if Pennsylvania follows the most recent states of New York and New Jersey, who are also kind of at the same spot that we are in terms of, you know, the legislator looking at the legalization,
mm-hmm.
we may follow their lead with that, which I think their voters have asked for more time, at least,
yeah.
You know, to look at this.
I wonder if it'll be a referendum question. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, if the state lawmakers will decide, okay, well, you know, we'll make it a referendum question. Let's take a vote, see what Pennsylvanians say.
I guess that's possible.
It'd be interesting. You know, it's not an easy process to get a statewide referendum question on the ballot, but they might do it. Yeah. Some people say that marijuana is a so-called gateway drug. Any opinions on that from either of you? And when I say gateway, you know, well, this is the first step down a slippery slope, you know, to other harder drugs. Are there professional opinions on that, or is that just, you know, run-of-the-mill, on-the-street scuttlebutt?
There is professional opinion on that. There are many experts in the field that believe that marijuana is a gateway drug. Others believe that it's not necessarily the drug itself that's the gateway. It's the group of peers, the people that you surround yourself with, and as you progress and maybe experiment with things, those peers, those people, those connections change, and you start going down that other road.
I can understand what you mean, or even the fact that, okay, this is illegal, but once you do it, say, okay, you know, look, I'm still here. Maybe that makes it easier to ignore other drug laws, huh? Even if it's not necessarily habit-forming. I don't have any professional opinion on that, obviously. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, where you obtain it from, the people that you obtain it from, they may or may not have access to other substances that might recommend.
It has to be bad company, the people that you obtain it from. It's illegal, after all, you know. You can't walk into a store and buy it. Although I must say, I'm seeing more of this, what's the active ingredient in marijuana?
CBD.
I'm trying to think of it. Yes.
The CBD oil.
Yeah, but we're seeing it now in lotions and candy and cookies and all kind of stuff. Apparently it's not the hallucinogenic component, but it's the, I don't know what it is. But you're seeing that more and more in stores now. Is that a cause for concern, Donna?
I don't know. I don't believe how well the food or products, how well they're regulated, if they're regulated by the FDA. It's one component of the drug, and it doesn't have the hallucinogenic properties. I don't believe there's anything to say that traces of the substance can't get in there. I don't know if there's enough regulation that would make everybody at ease and say, okay, you know, this is safe.
It's a good point. I don't know whether it's even being looked at by the FDA, right? Food and Drug Administration.
Right.
Or whether or not it actually works. You know, there are a lot of health supplements on the market these days, all kinds of stuff. And if you look on the jar of almost all of them, it'll say on there, not tested by the Federal Drug Administration, so you just kind of have to take their word for it. So whether these lotions and edibles have any real effect, who knows? You know, I guess you can put anything you want in a jar or in a bottle and say, here you go. But I'm seeing more of that. Are you not?
Yes.
I'm seeing it advertised, too, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're talking about a program coming up on June the 4th. That's a Tuesday evening, a factual look at the impact that legalization of recreational marijuana has had in Colorado. Anybody know anything more about your keynote speaker, Dale Quigley, other than the fact that he's the we got to take a deep breath here. The deputy coordinator of the National Marijuana Initiative for a High Intensity Drug Traffic Initiative program, which is funded by the White House. So I don't know. Has there been a statement from the White House as to their stand on this?
Well, I cannot speak to that, but I do know that Mr. Quigley is part of a speaker bureau from the High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Initiative program. He's one of many speakers. Some are in law enforcement, which I believe is his background, but there are others who are just either passionate or experienced, knowledgeable about the subject in the Bureau. And Mr. Quigley has actually been in Pennsylvania quite a bit recently. He spoke this actual same presentation to all the legislators back in March. I think it was March 12th or something. I'm not sure. So all the legislators who were in session hopefully had an opportunity to see that and be a part of this presentation as well. He will also be speaking at the Commonwealth Prevention Alliance, the conference in early June up in State College. So he's very experienced speaker, has a lot of knowledge that we're very lucky to have gotten because he's so busy to come to Butler to share his knowledge with us.
Absolutely. I wonder what's happening in some other countries. You know, there are many other countries where marijuana is illegal. I know in the British Isles and in Ireland it's referred to as cannabis. They don't call it marijuana. But you'll see stories every once in a while where there was a big bust, you know, of cannabis seized. Here in the United States, it's a little bit different in that heroin and some of the other really, really heavy drugs have to be imported because it's grown in other countries. Marijuana can be grown, you know, in somebody's backyard, and it is in some cases. So, you know, it's not like it has to be smuggled in, you know, through some port or somewhere like that. I guess that makes it potentially even more of a problem here in Pennsylvania. So, at any rate, your stance is that you're not taking a position one way or another on whether or not it should be legalized. You just want to explore the impact that it's already had in some states and see if that might be helpful in deciding what we want to do here in Pennsylvania.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. On the panel for discussion on the evening of June 4th, Rich Goldinger, who's the Butler County District Attorney, and Dr. Mark Fuller, Value Behavioral Health, Jason Beckwith with Action in Recovery, and the aforementioned Dale Quigley, who will be the keynote speaker. Is there a generational divide, do you think, on whether or not marijuana should be legalized for recreational use? Are older folks, do they tend to be more against it and the younger people in favor of it? Donna, you're shaking your head. You don't think so.
I don't think so.
I agree. Yeah.
No, I think there's an equal mix of young, middle-aged, older. I think for the for those that are not young, maybe their reasoning, their beliefs, what they believe in, whether they support it or don't support it, has a lot to do with life, lessons learned in their own life.
Maybe their lifestyle, you know. I mean, there are people, the Grateful Dead, that they're getting to be what you would call old.
Oh, yes.
Senior citizens, I'm sure they're in favor of. Willie Nelson is openly in favor of marijuana, and he's getting up there in years, too, so I guess it would depend on your circumstances if
Correct.
You're a boomer or older, eh?
Correct.
Yeah. And yet we have young people today who are experimenting with the e-cigarettes, you know, the Juul. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you've heard mm-hmm. about that, which is apparently widespread among young people. So all depends, I guess, huh?
Yes. It's yeah. always something, yeah. something new.
So once again, you do not need reservations or anything like that for this event. You can just go if you're free that evening.
Yes.
Tuesday, June 4th. And this will all take place where?
At the Butler Community College in the Suckup Theater.
Doors open at 6 o'clock. The program of the keynote speaker starts at 6:30. Well, I think it's good that we explore this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's terrific that you've been able to put together a program like this.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you.
And I'm glad to help publicize
yes,
it for
thank
you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Oh, no, that's what we do here on this program, yeah. Our guest today, Beth Neveu, who is a supervisor for the Butler County Drug and Alcohol Program, and also Donna Genereski. Nice to meet her for the first time and have her with us here today. She is the director of Drug and Alcohol Programs for Butler County. Thank you, ladies. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Good
Appreciate
to see you.
It.
We have more coming. We're going to be talking about fitness, generally for men, men's fitness, and with Michael Matthews, who'll be our next guest, chatting with us by telephone here on the It's Your Program today. I want to tell you about one of our other sponsors, and that's Goin' Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Goin' Postal Butler, what do? Well, they package your items for shipping. Simple as that. Very convenient and very affordable. You don't have to worry about hunting around for the right size box or the bubble wrap or that special mailing tape or any of that stuff. Just take your items to Goin' Postal Butler. They'll pack them up and ship them out any way you want, by the way. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right behind the Kings and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. They have other services, too. Copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, even an official notary. Open Monday through Friday. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, that is Goin' Postal Butler. We will be right back.
Applewood Chiropractic has wellness plans designed to assist with treatment and preventative care and include 6 bioimpedance analyses per year to help with wellness and fitness goals. Plus, you'll receive discounts on services and supplements like laser therapy or hemp extract oil. And some insurance companies may even cover your wellness plan with unlimited fitness center use. For details, call 724-283-0518. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive in Butler.
On May 21st, there's a very important election for a new judge in the Butler County Court of Common Pleas. This is Attorney Wink Robinson. If elected as judge, I pledge that I will perform my duties impartially, with competency, and independent from outside influences. The dignity of the court will be maintained. Your confidence will never be a cause for concern. I have 30 years of courtroom experience with the patience and legal skills to apply the law in a fair yet firm manner. Please elect me to be your next judge on Tuesday, May 21st. Paid for by William Wink Robinson.
Coming up, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Michael Matthews. We're going to be talking about bigger, leaner, stronger, the simple science of building the ultimate male body. Michael Matthews, nice to have you with us here for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us about your background, how you first became involved or interested in physical fitness and building a better body.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fell into it. I grew up playing sports, played baseball, then got into hockey and played quite, played quite a bit of hockey, and when that kind of came to an end as when I was a teenager, I was looking, what's the next thing? I wanted to keep doing something with my body, found weightlifting, enjoyed it, and gathered some friends and just kind of did it for a while, and then eventually along the way decided to really educate myself on training, nutrition, and how to get the most out of my body in terms of fitness, and did well, and then started teaching other people, enjoyed that, and I was an unofficial trainer of a number of people, friends, family, people who would just come and join me, and then became an actual trainer, decided to write the book, and really this was the book that I just wished somebody would have given me back when I was 17 or 18, and it would have saved me a lot of time, it would have saved me a lot of frustration, and I would have gotten a lot more results a lot faster. And published the book back in 2012, the first edition, and now publishing a new third edition, which is really kind of reorganized, rewritten from scratch. A lot of the same basic information as in the first edition, but better explained, better put together. And, you know, I've gotten so much good feedback over the years that I've really been able to address I've gotten so many good questions and suggestions from readers because it's sold about 500,000 copies up until now. And so I'd say this is like the ultimate edition. This is everything that is needed for somebody who, whether they know nothing about working out and resistance training and building muscle and getting lean and getting strong, or even if they are not new to working out, but not maybe feeling stuck, not getting the results that they want. I really would say this book contains everything. And that's a long story short.
You say there are quite a few myths about fat loss and muscle building, and you discuss some of these myths in your book, myths that keep guys, well, how do we say it, keep guys fat, weak, and frustrated, right?
That's right. That's the simple way to say it, right?
Yeah. So what are some of these myths, Mike?
Sure, yeah. So one is that calories in versus calories out is bad science, right? And that's been kind of trendy over the last few years to say that you don't really have to pay attention to – it's not about calories anymore. It's not about how much you eat anymore. It's about what you eat. It's about eating the right foods, or maybe eating the right foods at the right time, and that is simply not true. We have a century of metabolic research under our belts in the scientific community. Has that done now? And you know, there's a perfect example that I give of this is in the book. Is there was a professor named Mark Taub, and he's a professor at Kansas State University, and he lost 27 pounds in 10 weeks eating Hostess cupcakes and Doritos, Oreos, and some whey protein shakes. Huh. And there's a few other examples that have made headlines. A science teacher, John Cisna, 56 pounds in 6 months, eating nothing but McDonald's. And my point with this is there's something called energy balance, and this is a fundamental aspect, a fundamental mechanism of the human metabolism that is, it's so well taped scientifically that they're not continuing to research how this works because they know how it works. It's more now, how do we get this to be practical? How do we get people to understand it and use the information to be able to control their body weight? And what energy balance is, it's the relationship between the amount of energy that you're eating and the amount of energy that you're burning. And yes, I'm talking about calories in and calories out. Calories are not everything, but as far as body weight goes, energy balance dictates body weight. Whether you lose body weight, gain body weight, or maintain body weight, that is strictly a function of energy in and energy out. Now, I talk about this in the book, and then you do want to go beyond just calories. You want to look at how those calories break down in terms of protein, carbs, carbohydrate, and fat. That does matter, especially when we're talking about improving body composition, which is something that I like to move away from focusing too much on body weight, and particularly with women, because body weight doesn't matter so much. It's body composition. It's what's that weight made up of? You know, I'm 200 pounds, maybe about 9 or 10% body fat. So by a standard, you know, BMI chart, I'm borderline overweight. If you were to give those numbers, if you're just to give my body weight, not the body fat percentage, you say I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, That's borderline overweight by just body weight standards. However, you look at my body composition, and of course I'm not overweight. So that's one myth that if you get that wrong, you will always struggle with your body weight and with your body composition. So I spend a bit of time really breaking down energy balance and teaching people how it works and how to use it to lose fat and not muscle, to gain muscle and as little fat as possible, or just to maintain your body composition if you're happy with it.
It seems perhaps a little counterintuitive at first glance. You're talking about losing weight and yet experiencing muscle growth. But there's a difference there, right? Because if you're losing weight, you're mainly getting rid of fat.
That's right. And that's the goal. And, you know, it can be funny, especially it can be talked about counterintuitive. It also can be kind of confusing for people when they first start because especially women who, again, just because of it's just been in the culture that, you know, women are supposed to live and die by the scale. But similarly for men where you start training your muscles. And so I of course, promote weightlifting, but it doesn't have to be weightlifting. It could be working with machines. It could be doing body weight stuff. There are other ways to train your muscles. But the point is to train your muscles with the purpose of getting stronger. That's really what I want people to focus on for resistance training is increasing whole body strength. That's how you're going to gain muscle, and that's also how you are going to improve your mobility, you're going to improve your body's ability to just function, and it's going to improve your long-term health. And so if you are starting out and you start, you know, let's say it's lifting weights, that activity is going to add weight, right? So you're going to start gaining muscle, that adds weight. And also the muscle that you have and the muscle that you're gaining is going to be holding more water and more glycogen, which is a form of carbohydrate that's stored in the muscles and burned during exercise. So what can often happen is, and I hear from people regularly that, and I address this in the book just to give people a heads up, like, don't worry, this is common. What's probably going to happen is in the first 6 weeks or so, you may, let's say you're starting out and you want to lose fat, you want to lose weight. You may lose some weight, but it probably is not going to be as much as you would like or you thought you would lose. However, you're going to be happy with what you see in the mirror. You're going to see your waist shrinking. You're going to feel your clothes fitting better. And that's because the weightlifting that you're doing pushes your weight up. And by manipulating your diet, which really, again, is more about numbers. It's more about how much you're eating, how many calories, how much protein, how much carbohydrate, how much fat. As far as your body composition goes, it's more about that than the foods that you're eating. The foods that you're eating matter in terms of nutrition, and that is more about function, health, vitality, as opposed to muscle and fat. So it's not that I'm recommending people just eat junk food and only watch their calories, but you can be very flexible. Your diet can be very accommodating in terms of food preferences. So that's often what happens, and just speaking to I'd say it's for both men and women, what will often happen if you fast forward to, let's say, a year. They've been working on my program for a year. They're surprised at their body weight and what they see in the mirror. It's not what they expected. They going into it, they thought their ideal body weight would be, you know, a certain number, of whatever the number is. And when they get to a body composition that they're very happy with, they often find that they weigh more than they thought they were going to weigh going into it. So again, weight is important and it's good to watch weight, but it's not the only metric. In the end, it's really not the most important one.
We're talking with Michael Matthews, author of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. You mentioned BMI a few minutes ago. That stands for Body Mass Index, right? Am I correct on that?
Right. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a relationship between height and weight.
I've heard the term, but I mean, can the average person figure out what their BMI is? Is there a way to a scientific way to do that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just a formula. So it's just and it represents the relationship between height and weight, and it is useful. But you know, like I have a BMI calculator on my website, legionathletics.com, right? So if you go there and you search for BMI, you'll find a calculator and you can find out what your BMI is. And it is useful. However, it's more useful for at a population level. So what how scientists use it, and really why it was developed, is how they use it is to take a whole population of people and estimate how fit they are. So if a BMI is if it's generally on a population level too low, they would go, okay, on average these people are underweight, or if it's too high, on average these people are overweight. However, it does not account for body composition. It's just weight and height. And so for your average, let's say, person who is not training their muscles, yeah, it's a decent indicator. So, you know, if my BMI is around 25 is what it would calculate out to be. And again, according to just a BMI chart and the simple information you read about a BMI, or if I was just a data point, a scientist would look at that and be like, he looks like he should lose some weight. It looks like he's a bit overweight. But in reality, I'm not. So a lot of people, though, they don't necessarily know that, and they hear about BMI. And again, it's kind of like going strictly by body weight. If you only go by body weight, you're not going to be accounting for muscle and fat, which is more important. And similarly with BMI, instead of BMI, I recommend that people pay attention to their body fat percentage. That gives you a better indicator. And that's not just for point, that's not just for vanity, that's also for health. So for example, if we're talking about ideal health for men, body fat level somewhere around 15% is going to be pretty ideal. You can go a bit lower if you want to have really cool abs, and you can go a little bit higher if, let's say, you're an athlete and you're very active and you need to make sure that you're eating a lot of food just to be able to function in your sport. But somewhere around 15% is pretty ideal. And for women, somewhere around 25%, maybe as low as 20%. At 20%, that's that, you know, pretty lean, kind of athletic look. 25% is a fit look. And so those are better rules of thumb or better guidelines than BMI numbers.
I have a couple of more questions for Michael Matthews. Need to take a quick break here. We'll be back and wrap up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Have you made vacation plans yet? Oh, here are some ideas, starters from Butler Motor Tours. Wonderful trips, some short, some longer. You can check out details on their website, butlerbus.com. They're taking a trip to New York City, a weekend in New York City. That's nice. In mid-August, also a trip to the Eastern Shores for a vacation in mid-August. Visit Atlantic City and Wildwood and beautiful Cape May. That's a four-day trip. How about Nashville and Memphis, including a stop at Graceland? That's in early August. Or a faith and nation trip to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where you'll also be visiting the new Museum of the Bible. That's a three-day trip, July 31st through August 2nd. And many, many more trips, too. Hey, check out the website, butlerbus.com. All the trips are there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and everything. Butler Motor Tours. They've been around for more than 75 years. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler, a trusted local company. And they're online at butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com.
Are you sick of chronic pain and all that goes with it? You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. How do you get your card without the hassle? Compassionate Certification Centers for your medical marijuana card or CBD visit. Visit cccregister.com. That's cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get your medical marijuana card and connect you with certified doctors that can answer all of your questions.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're talking with Michael Matthews on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We're talking about his book, third edition now, of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, the simple science of building the ultimate male body. But this could also apply to women, right? Some of your advice, Michael?
Absolutely. That's actually, I have a book for women, which is called Thinner, Leaner, Stronger. And the reason why that book came about is because a lot of women would read Bigger, Leaner, Stronger and then write me and email me. I don't think I was on Instagram at the time, or I wasn't very active on that. So they'd email me and they would say, hey, a lot of this sounds like I could do it. What should I do? And I had a long reply that I would send them, just specifying, saying, yeah, absolutely. So in here are the things that don't really change. So like, for example, energy balance, which I mentioned earlier, the relationship between calories in and calories out and how that affects body weight works the same way in women as in men. The only difference is women burn fewer calories on, generally speaking, than men, mostly because they just have smaller bodies. They have less muscle. But the hardware works in the same way. However, there are some key differences that women, more so on the training side of things, like most men, their goal is, let's just say it's going to take them a lot longer to get the upper body that they want than the lower body. And with women, it's usually the other way around. Usually women, they are more interested in getting the legs and the butt they really want, and that's where they want the most of, they want most muscle definition and most muscle development, and they do want to have muscle definition, muscle tone, muscle development in their upper bodies, but it's going to take more work for them to get the lower body that they want. So that's how the women's book came about, where I was getting enough of these questions. I was like, okay, I think it makes sense for me to take everything that's in the men's book and customize it and adapt it to women and address some female-only things as well, like the myths and mistakes chapter in the women's book discusses different things because women, for example, many women have heard that weightlifting makes you bulky. Don't do weightlifting, or if you're going to do weightlifting, do not lift heavy weights or you're going to end up looking like a linebacker or something. And that's simply not true. And so there are some male and female only things in the respective male and female books, and then the training programs are quite different because men start out stronger than women. Most men, generally speaking, are starting out stronger so they can handle heavier weights safely, and then they have different goals in terms of what type of physique they want. So the training needs to reflect that.
Is it ever too late? I'm talking about chronological age now. Is it ever too late to start on your program, Mike?
Definitely not. And I actually address that in the book. There are some changes that I recommend, and I go over this in the book. Some things that, you know, you can lighten the weights a little bit. You can also take some rest. Insert some additional rest into the program, because really, as far as training goes, the main thing that changes as this is for both men and women, as we get older, is actually not so much our ability to gain muscle and strength. This has been shown in a number of studies that middle-aged men, for example, I'm thinking of one study that was conducted with middle-aged men and college-aged men, 10 weeks of weightlifting, same program, pretty well-designed, well-controlled study, and the men, as far as muscle gain goes, did more or less as well as the middle-aged men did more or less as well as the college-aged men. The college-aged men gained a little bit more strength in the leg press, if I remember correctly, but it was pretty comparable. However, one of the big changes is our ability to recover from workouts is really what declines over time. And it doesn't get so bad that you can't train. It's just that you can't necessarily push your body as hard at 50 as you could at 20 and recover as quickly and be able to just, you know, pound it day after day, week after week. And so that's really the main thing that needs to be kept in mind. As far as diet goes, everything really works the same. Sure, when we're younger, and this is for men and women, our hormones are... our hormone profiles are a bit better, and in men, that means generally a bit higher testosterone, and that means that it's a bit easier to stay lean, to lose fat, to gain muscle. However, a lot of the hormonal changes that are generally associated with aging are not just it's not just fate. It's actually mostly related to lifestyle. It's mostly related to not exercising, to not eating well, to gaining weight, to taking medications that interfere with hormones. And so these are all things that are under our control. So it's never too late. I've worked with many men and women who are in their 50s and even 60s and definitely 40s who they went from being just a normal, not really in shape person to within anywhere from 1 to 3 years getting in the best shape of their lives, like looking better in their 50s and feeling better and being stronger and all around healthier than they were in their 20s. And it's just, it may take a little bit more time. You may have to be a little bit more patient, but that's just a negligible aspect of the overall journey, because again, and I talk about this in my books, I really want people to look at fitness as a lifestyle and get away from fad diets and fad exercise programs and detox diets and starvation diets and 30-day workout challenges where you absolutely crush your body and you can barely get out of bed after your leg days and something that's more moderate and it's more sustainable and it's more enjoyable. That's a big thing, that if you don't like your workouts or if you don't like your diet, how are you going to be able to do that for 5 years, let alone 5 months? And that's what I want people to look at is let's set up a system that you actually enjoy that you could see yourself doing 10 years from now, 15 years from now.
Our time is run out here. I know you also talk about favorite tools for getting motivated, staying motivated, and that's an important part of the program as well. Folks, if you want more information, Michael Matthews is the guy. His book, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, for men, and then the woman's version is Thinner, Leaner, Stronger. Both available where? Bookstores or online or where, Mike?
Yeah. Barnes & Noble, they're in a lot of smaller indie bookstores, and then everywhere that you might want to buy a book online, you'll probably find them.
Michael Matthews, thanks for chatting with us today.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Sure.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? Armco Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member.
Armco Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. Ever have a tough time getting the motor started early in the morning? I know what you mean. Well, maybe I can help. I'd like to invite you to join me every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, for the Early Morning Show here on WISR. We start with the first local news of the day, bright and early at 5:30. We go to 9:30, and oh yes, we pause for half an hour and have coffee with Kate at 8:30 every weekday morning, too. Please join me. I'd like to share the early morning hours, 5:30 weekdays, here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey, here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
She said